I'm just going to do it one more time.
Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches! Party time! Video games! All the girls, comedy, and bitches!
Jeremy,
talking to the microphone, you dumbass.
I like how he talked about how he was telling a story.
Yeah, yeah. I did.
So I was telling a story the other day.
I'm going to tell you the story about me telling a story.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right. It's called Storytellers.
This one time when I was talking,
I was telling a joke at this joke club where they tell jokes.
So. I guess welcome back to Quality Time, everybody.
Woo woo.
James, Quality Time.
Get on mic. God damn it, Jeremy.
I'm right into it.
There you are. Yes. There you are. Welcome to Quality Time. My name is Eric Woodward. We're joined by my two wonderful co-hosts, Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
Hey.
And Mr. Jeremy Woodworth.
No.
Oh, gosh. Who do we have? Who's on the show tonight?
Tonight, I'm Samantha Kelly.
Tonight, you're Samantha
Kelly.
Yeah,
I'm Samantha Kelly.
You can't just say that. You have to be her.
I'm pretty close, aren't I? You know? Aren't we like twins? So, except she's just a little bit sexier than me. So
you're like a scaly version with a penis. And then other than that, I mean, you're pretty much identical.
And she's a little more masked.
Well, welcome back to Quality Time, guys, and thank you for tuning in. A little bit rewind from last week where we debuted the James Finn song,
amazing,
and some other hot tracks. We also. Jeremy,
I was tempted.
I gave Jeremy the power to control music to be played through.
That was a mistake.
He already. I want to know that. Like, I gave him the power to do this, and I said, "Don't make me regret that I gave you this power." Okay,
see,
that I gave you a little bit of authority, and he was about to touch it, and me and Kim immediately saw that he was going for it, and he was like, "I'm sorry." He was like a kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
A therapist would say you're causing your own problems.
Exactly.
Just like, what's his name from Goodfellas? He's like, don't say it. Don't say it. Motherfucker.
So we decided, if you guys are familiar with episode 46 last week, Jeremy came up with a rack of new songs and possible intros, including the German version and all that jazz.
And the James Finn
song. We're going to have those remastered at the end of the episodes. So if you stick around to the end and listen to the very end, the quality on it last week wasn't that great. They've been remastered. So we're going to leave the voting open for another week. Currently, the one that's in the lead is the German version of the song, which I got to be honest with you, I might be able to stand it for about 3 weeks. 3 weeks maximum, it might be the new intro. And then after that, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to take it.
There's nothing like an intro that makes you hate life and want to kill people. So,
hey, it's not the first time Germans went crazy and killed a bunch of people. Am I right?
That hasn't happened in years. Come on.
So, we're going to leave that poll up. If you go on to the Quality Time Facebook page, you can see it up there. It's a wonderful little meme where you get to do the little smiley face, the thumbs up. We have the original in the running still. We have the Kimberly Ambrose version.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Judas Priest version. And, of course, the German version, which is it's very highly touted and in the lead right now. So
I hate to say I could really make a really extreme Kim Ambrose version. Just really Kim
An extreme
Ambrose.
I am into
Kim
that
Ambrose.
In a big way.
So.
Quality time, funeral homes, birthing babies. Like, it'd be intense. It'd be a lot of information.
Few women in Baltimore have had their hands filled with human guts. Yeah. So, hey, you know, who doesn't?
So we have a good show lined up for tonight, guys. Later on, we're going to be having Joe Robinson's coming in to the show.
Yes.
And Skyping in.
Papa Bear Joe Robinson.
I'd be clapping if I didn't have a beer in my hand.
He's going to be...
Must be rough.
He's going to be coming in to talk about the Jeremy situation. So,
do we have that clip from Lost in Space where he says, Joe Robinson, danger,
danger.
Danger.
Joe Robinson, danger.
Is that even his real name?
No, it's Will Robinson.
Oh.
It's Will Robinson. Danger Will Robinson. Robinson. Danger.
I thought Joe was the father.
Fuck it. Episode's over. We're never doing this again.
We can't do it. We don't have enough show prep ready, guys. We need to we need to abandon it.
He'll correct it for us next episode. Don't worry about it.
So stay tuned for this entire episode. Also, guys, if I could take just a brief moment right here.
Just a second.
Quality time. You know, we spend tens of dollars to produce this all the time.
Yes.
And
yes,
the least of that, we do ask that a little something from the fans, if you could log in, rate the show, give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to, whether it be Podbean or, more importantly, iTunes. Any iTunes 5-star rating we get, we will read. So feel free to weird it up, okay? I haven't been on in a couple days,
hey,
but
guys,
we will.
Guys, I've been sitting over here in the corner.
Oh, it's Vietnam. Tom. Hey,
you let me sleep in your basement. God bless you. You're an American and a patriot, much like Tom Brady. But I just want to say, if you don't get some sponsors, I ain't gonna get that crack that you promised me. I need like at least a rock a week to be part of this program.
That's
an important part of sponsorship, is being able to get some drugs.
He's down to a rock a week, which is way down. I mean, it's
really
is,
healthy.
In diabetic terms, this is him switching to Splenda. You know,
I
don't make as much money with my body on the streets like I used to in the 70s.
It's like he stopped eating ham, smokes less crack, and only has 18 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, only.
So much better.
I make $40 on the streets with my body, you know, man love, which is exactly what I made back in the 70s, but that was more like $1,000 back in the 70s.
So you're thinking if we upped the 5-star ratings on iTunes that maybe you could parlay this into like a $50 a
day? I just want more drugs. That's all I'm saying, whether it comes out of your pocket or the kids. I'm going to go back and lay in the corner.
All right, go ahead and lay
Thank
down,
you,
Tom.
Thank you, Vietnam Tom.
Thank you so
Bye,
much.
Bye, guys.
Gosh, he is terrible. You know, the weirdest part is if you never see Jeremy at the same time as Vietnam Tom.
And I also like how Tom said goodbye just to go lay in the corner. Like, he's still in the room with us. He's just over there.
But he always talks about what fun times he has with Tom when he comes in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're going to have to ask Jeremy when he comes back to the show.
Yeah. Oh, I came back. Was Vietnam in here?
Oh, my God.
Did you miss him?
That's amazing.
It's crazy how, like, this he went away and you came in. It's just, like, weird, the timing.
This show is like magic, kind of like Wolverine and Black Widow being in the same movie together.
Right, right.
With Alfred and Batman.
There's some deep cuts Jeremy's dropping right there. Deep cuts.
The prestige.
Kimberly and I had a wonderful weekend at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
We did. We
this
had a
weekend.
Bang out weekend. We banged it out.
Three shows for the murder mystery.
I'm exhausted.
The second show Saturday night is you feel like you pour it all out in one.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
There's something about how late it was because of the break box. We've done double headers before, and like the late show is usually like at 9, but this one was at 10, and that extra hour, man, I was exhausted.
I know. It's weird though,
but they were
such
a good crowd.
They were the best crowd. I feel like I get that adrenaline rush, but I'm also like, okay, I'm ready to be not in high heels right now. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it was so hot at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
It really was hot.
So I woke up this morning and I waited about almost the whole day without showering, and there was a film on me that could be described as if my whole body had been lightly salted, like when you get like the powdered salt. Powdered salt all over me.
It's like
all
if you
day.
Took a simple salmon and you just put a little salt on it.
Yeah,
you let it sit.
That's exactly what it was like. That's exactly what it was like. Mm-hmm. So.
And may I say that picture of you on the t-shirt table was mighty sexy.
Oh, thanks, man. Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, them's legs is mighty pretty.
My
for
gams?
The lady,
folks. He likes my gams?
Yeah.
It's how I do my walking.
And nothing prettier than a big pregnant woman.
Right? So. That belly is fierce. People were like, are you really pregnant? And I was like, girl, no. Come on
Do you
now.
Have the problem with a lot of people coming up and punching you right in the pregnant belly?
People like to poke it. They like to poke the belly. I'm into it. Just keep it above mid, you know? Don't go on low poke. That's
weird.
What
a horrible thing if somebody did come
and just punch me, and I was like, dude, I'm pregnant.
I think of some evil shit sometimes.
What if they
I'm
did
sorry.
That and then I just pretended to, like, dry heave? He'd be like, oh, my God.
I'm in labor again.
The dog tits line has been working.
Yeah, ooh. you and your dog tits line.
That
man.
Was pretty good. I said, after five kids, your stomach just pops out like dog tits.
Yeah, people love.
People liked that.
People love dog tits.
They
Can
do.
I just be honest with
they
you?
Do.
I mean, I didn't know. Listen, sometimes my comedic senses say, hey, don't do that. And that was one of those things. And proven wrong.
Proven wrong. Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Nailed it.
You also had a run-in. I say a run-in, but we had a very interesting lady that came over to the t-shirt booth afterwards.
Yes.
That didn't like the t-shirts that we were selling.
It's not that she didn't like them. It's that she thought she could improve upon it.
Go ahead. Give us the skinny on this, because you had the greatest interaction. I tried to ignore.
Okay.
And you went full-on engaged.
I was trying to sell motherfucking shirts.
We did sell some shirts.
Which was great. Yeah.
And thank you to everybody who did buy a shirt. We really do appreciate buying the swag there. But tell us a little bit about this lady who came up to the t-shirt booth.
Well, first of all, our shirts are kind of special because, of course, everybody wants to make extra money. But the point is, we love what we do and we're very excited about what we do. So we have this killer shirt that says, I got drunk and solved a murder. Now, I've worn this once into public, and at least four people in a 2-hour time frame came up to me like, what's that? What is that about?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah, it's about Die Laughing Productions. Let me tell you what this is about. Like, the shirt works, right?
It's just, do you ever just fuck with them sometimes? Like, I was on season 3 of CSI, actually.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
I was removed for alcohol abuse, actually.
I'm Troy McClure. Maybe you saw my work on the ID channel.
I don't know if you've ever seen the Homicide Life on the Streets thing, but I think they use a body outline as well. So I think that your t-shirt should also say Life on the Streets at the bottom. Just
that's
for the
pretty
fun
great.
So,
that's pretty great. Life on the Killing Streets.
Hey, it's Balmer. That's a Balmer t-shirt, you know, tie in Balmer.
Well, our shirt says, I got drunk and solved a murder. She had an amendment. She was like, I think it should say, I got drunk and couldn't solve shit. And I think that's hilarious. I think we should have a
funny
secondary shirt option.
But then she started shitting on our shirt. She was just like, man, this is fucking shit.
Well, she just thought her idea was great, which she's not wrong. It doesn't make our shirt shitty, but her idea was great.
You know, I hate to say that I'm a lazy or a stupid person, but after seeing like two of your solve murder things, at a certain point, I just get this like M. Night Shyamalan thing. Like, it's going to be a twist ending anyway. I'll never get it.
People,
you know,
way overthink it.
It's going to be that guy in the audience who never said anything during the whole show, and they're just going to make it up. So why do I bother?
Whenever somebody does that where they M. Night Shyamalan and we're walking around in like the before the reveal scene, and we're like, hey, who did it? Blah, blah, blah. Whenever somebody gives me like a really smart answer that we didn't come up with, I always say, oh, wow, that's really good. You should write for us. That's, like, way better than what we have.
Have you had the unmasking yet, like, on all the Scooby-Doos? So.
That would actually be really fun. That's a really good idea. You meddling kids.
And I would have gotten away with it,
yeah,
too.
I love that. That response of a character to be like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you guys. That's like blaming your kids for your bad marriage.
That is true.
Right?
That is true.
So if it wasn't for you fucking assholes, me and your mom would be drowning in her pussy, but instead we're out here trying to pay goddamn mortgage.
What did daddy say about happiness in life, Eric?
Who, dad?
Yeah. Have you been happy in life if he hadn't have had kids?
Oh, yeah. No, Dad had a way of when the rage had overcome him, where he would stew for like a good hour after he had been enraged, and then he would sit there and he was just like, and he would just say these passive-aggressive things that turned into a very aggressive
thing. I was saying, I don't know how they're passive.
And then he would go, he was just like, he would say things like that where, let's say, he would lose his scissors, right? And he couldn't find his pair of scissors.
Classic.
Right? My dad was a hoarder. Our dad was a hoarder. And so he would just lose everything constantly and blame it on us. And he'd go, I used to have scissors, but I decided to have a family instead.
Oh, my God. I want that as a bumper sticker.
That's classic dad right there.
It reminds me so much of Jack Nicholson when he goes to drink at the bar in The Shining. He's like, having trouble with the little sperm bank upstairs.
I used to be able to just put porn wherever I wanted, but then I had children. So I can't do that now. I used to be able to just eat potato chips at my own free will because the bag was always fresh, never opened. But now I have fucking kids. So
we have a new contest this week. If you can give a comment to the most hateful thing that your parent has ever said to you. Oh, yeah. Bring it out.
That's
put it on the table.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, how about... Hey, how about this for a prize? If you if you message Quality Time, we'll start a post up on the Quality Time Facebook page. Post your most hateful thing that a parent has said to you, and if we find your comment to be the most hateful thing we've ever heard a parent say, Jeremy will make a song about it.
And, yes!
And it will be played
Damn
on
it,
Quality
Damn it, now I
want to
win.
Now, the more context you give, the better. So, especially if your parent was like a normal parent until they really said the most hateful thing possible, which
this
makes it
better. This is fucked up,
because
I feel like I might be able to take the cake here before we've even begun the contest.
The best part is our dad's dead, so he can't even argue about it.
Just go to town. Go to town on the dead.
My mom said to me, she said, well, why don't you just go live with your father then?
Ooh.
Way to put me in the middle.
See, but our dad said he regretted having a family because he lost a pair of scissors. You understand?
Oh, yours is better. Mine's not the winner for sure. Mine's not the winner. It's just a little, it scorches on the asshole a little bit.
It is. It's a hot, sticky burn. I mean, that does hurt. That hurts.
That does.
There's something about the hyperbole that I realize, like, this is a little ridiculous, Dad. Come on. But right, that's a legit hurtful thing.
Even when you're a child and you've never been in this situation before and your response is, Jesus, that's fucked up.
I remember a guy I worked with, and he was definitely in his 50s, but he still remembered it like it was yesterday. He said his dad was holding hands with him, and he couldn't have been more than 4 years old, and looking down at him and said, you know, I just kind of wish you had never been born.
Oh my God. You don't say that. You just drink the pain away.
You know, it would be okay if it was at least like a 20 or 30 year old, but to a 4 year old, that's pretty harsh.
That's intense. Yeah.
So,
wow.
But you know, he's all right. I think he only tried to commit suicide. How many times?
He only killed himself once. It's fine. It worked, once. But you only need all once is all you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're one of those weird flatliners guys that likes dying every other day.
That movie's so crazy.
Jeremy bought me an E.T. poster where E.T. is doing the NWO sign that I just noticed. That's interesting. We're going to take a little brief break.
Control your mind.
We're going to take a brief commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Joe Robinson to talk about the Jeremy situation. Stay tuned.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next show, Saturday, September 2nd at McGoobie's Joke House. Tickets are on sale. Head over to DieLaughingProductions.com for more info. Now, back to Quality Time. Welcome back to Quality Time, guys, after that brief break, which is just editing after the fact. Who are we lying to?
It feels
to
so
right
good
now?
To
there's
be
no,
back right
there's
now.
There's no live aspect of this show
we
at
just
all.
Took a two-week vacation. It
That's
was amazing.
It. This was recorded actually last year about a show we had yesterday. Yeah. So
I feel aroused.
We have a special guest, the creator, the producer, the man, the genius behind Die Laughing Productions, Mr. Joe Robinson. Joe, how are you doing, sir?
Yes.
One of the geniuses.
One of the genii.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you guys are at least, I mean, you know, 2 or 3% of it, of the 100.
At least.
Give yourself some credit.
We are the bottom shelf milk of the of the show. But we brought Joe on. We were talking about the show last night, and Jeremy was supposed to come up, so he's already we're trying to bring Jeremy into the fold, and you've brought Jeremy into the fold, and you wanted to address quote-unquote the Jeremy situation. So Jeremy, if you could roll the special intro music for the Jeremy situation.
Jeremy's situation. Joe Robinson.
Yeah. All right. The Jeremy situation with
Joe
Robinson.
Put 500 hours into that.
That I didn't hear it, thank God.
Oh.
Is it as good as the James Finn song?
It's maybe better. Maybe better.
Wow, too
Actually,
bad you didn't.
James Finn, I know you guys mention him a lot. We wouldn't mention him on our podcast because nobody knows who he is.
Well,
but on
you
this
don't
podcast,
have class,
he's
so.
Brought up consistently and constantly.
Well, you've never met a god.
Have no idea who he is. But he was honored by that song.
He did not give me that impression. What he said is that he didn't know how to feel about it yet.
Whereas he told me he was chock full of emotions.
Chock full of emotions was similar response.
Being that great of a realtor and not mentioning it in the song, or was that brought up in the song?
It's brought up in the song.
Realtor.
Yeah, yes. It's the first word, I think, of the thing. Realtor.
James Finn, okay. Realtor.
Sorry.
He'll eat
Sorry,
your
I didn't
car.
Get my Song Hits magazine for the lyrics yet, but I apologize. If it was in there, it was in there.
So, Joe, let me just take you back. Earlier this week, last week, you said that you wanted to come on the show and talk about the Jeremy situation. Now, I went and told Jeremy that information, and he immediately thinks that he's getting fired from the show without even having a single chance. He's actually been doing nothing. He's like, have I been fired from the show? I haven't even started yet. I mean, this is Hot Topic all over again. And
have you guys ever been to a wedding where when they're walking down the aisle, you guys are like, they're never going to make it? I mean, you're rooting for them,
If I'm going to be honest with you, yeah, I have been to a wedding where I'm like, six years max.
Did they make it?
I don't know. They're still doing it. They're still doing it.
Okay.
But I don't hold that. I think it'll end in murder if I'm being honest with myself.
You know, the sex with the bride was great after the wedding reception.
I
won't lie. So
a bang out ending.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you've called Jeremy, is my understanding, and you've brought him into the Die Laughing Productions murder mystery, the Halloween one. And, I mean, he's gone so far as to use his likeness now on the... I think we lost...
Oh, damn it.
Did we lose Joe Robinson? Fucking shit.
Let's pull this guy back up. Let's get this guy back in
Hold
here.
Hold on here.
Joseph Robinson.
Oh, we lost our celebrity. Oh... Yeah. Can we just play
Getting
this for like
in
another
the morning,
5 minutes?
Gonna take a shower, eat a bagel, get a coffee, listen to my favorite song.
James Finn will eat your soul. Realtor.
Suck it through your toes.
Realtor. Realtor. James Finn.
Suck your soul right out of your nose and spit it back on the ground where it belongs. You've got a shitty soul. Got a shitty soul.
Yo, spitting game, Joe Robinson insane, getting rammed on the brain, getting chased by a hippo in his picture. I don't know what's up with this mixture that I'm putting Cavassier with all the people at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Last night, that's what they ordering, and I'm about to go because I'm sort of a fool when I got a rule.
Loitering.
About to go do, and I'm starting to say drool.
I'm back.
Okay.
Yay!
So we never have sound problems on this end.
that's
weird.
That's crazy.
That's
okay.
Weird.
So
you're not true. Go ahead.
Well, what I was getting at is that so you've talked about bringing Jeremy on. It's gone so far as that now his likeness is now being used for the flyer for the Halloween whodunit show coming out this October.
Without his permission. What are you gonna do about it?
Nothing.
Bite off a real killer anyway. So. It's all good.
Yeah, it's not like some serial killer is going to come after you or anything like that. That'd be ridiculous. So what did you want to address with the Jeremy situation here?
Well, here's the deal. So when we said we were going to do this, the idea was just to have Jeremy running around in his clown outfit. That we just thought that would be funny to have some scares, you know, during intermissions, things like that. Maybe have him run across the stage. But what happened was we're doing a show on Halloween, and people like you have children. People like Justin Schlegel have children, and you don't feel like getting divorced in order to do this show, which I mean, I get, all right?
I just don't want my daughters to become strippers because I missed like the age of six Halloween. You understand? Like this, it's only cool to trick or treat with them for like the next like 5 years, and then they just go and do it themselves, right?
Right.
No, I get it. As soon as you said you couldn't do it, we had to start doing Plan B. But I've said this many, many times. you are the most irreplaceable person in the murder mystery. Well, it has nothing to do with talent or aptitude or anything. Right. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just who is willing to do the things that you do.
I'm
right?
pretty sure Eric can
and
be replaced by Wallace.
You're very likable and you're very funny. But there are a lot of likable and funny people, right? But they also have to be willing to make a jackass out of themselves, which some people aren't willing to do. I'm not, right? But you are, which I appreciate, and it's irreplaceable.
Yes.
Except for, you know, we have to look through your bloodline in order to try to find somebody also willing to do the same thing. And that's why we're like, okay, well,
do you know what this
maybe
is like?
Jeremy.
Joe, this is like,
yeah, I'm sorry,
this is like you having Ron Howard on the show and then saying, well, maybe we could get Clint Howard for this one.
Hey, wait a second. What's this guy named James Belushi?
Maybe now, when I said when I decided to go in that direction, everybody's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, hold on. I mean, Eric's telling me he's a great musician, right?
Yeah,
he also tells me he's willing to do the insane things that you also do. So I'm like, well, that's a good backup.
If anything, probably more so.
So we're forced into a situation where we have to use him for a brand new, but this is brand new. It's never, you guys haven't even read the script yet. You know, you don't even know what he's doing. But the problem is that nobody is coming to me when I say, hey, we're using it, and saying, no, he'll step up. He'll be fine. Every single person that I've spoken to, family members, people that know him, people that have heard about him, people from the registry that he's on, every single person has said, oh, no, that's a mistake. And all I want is for somebody, anybody to tell me it's going to be okay. And I can't find that. So that's what I'm doing on the show. I want somebody to say, no, I won't sabotage this show. I will take it seriously. I'll learn my lines. You know, I'm a professional. I want to hear that. That's why I'm here. That's my goal. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, he's a professional. He's in a movie. Didn't you watch his DVD, Joe? Or
well, at the end, when we pay him, he is technically a professional. I guess I meant to act professional.
Now, when you say everybody's saying this, is this anybody other than Justin Schlegel? So.
Well, no, because Rob Mayer, the co-creator of Die Laughing Productions, and Tommy Cimbazzo were on a road trip to some gig that they had to do. I think it was in Southern Virginia. And he's like, well, and Rob is talking to Tommy. He's like, no, Jeremy won't. He's not going to sabotage this thing. And Tommy's like, well, no, he probably will. He's like, no, he'll know that this, he can't, like, we're being paid by this club in order to do this. He can't just start reading from The Great Gatsby or whatever the hell he does, right? He can't. He's like, no, I'm not confident that he won't do that. So, you know, this is something I'm like, well, I want somebody eventually to stop and say, oh, no, he'll be fine. But they just continue to reiterate that this is not a great idea.
Do you want to know, this is what I imagine the worst thing that could happen, Joe, of Jeremy being on the show, which truthfully I don't think is that bad, right? So have you ever, I know you're familiar with the show Get a Life. I think we talked about it the other night.
Yeah, with Chris Elliott.
There's one episode called Zoo Animals on Wheels where Chris Elliott, he joins the cast of Zoo Animals on Wheels, which is a roller skating musical. And it's like, living in a zoo can be very sad. People stare at you and make you mad. And then he gets right up in this lady's face and goes, like this, and just scares the shit out of this lady. And he says, you scared my wife, you bastard, and punches Chris in the face.
Fight.
Yes. That would probably
so
be.
So you're
like,
saying the worst thing that could happen would be if there were a brawl at the venue where we were playing.
It's that Jeremy scares somebody and somebody's husband steps up and punches Jeremy in the face. That would be the worst thing that could possibly happen. But in retrospect, I mean, that's not that bad.
Hey,
right?
Listen,
that's good for
listen.
The brand.
It'll probably be good press. And I'm by the way, I'm not kidding about no one allowing me to feel comfortable about this. That's true. No one has yet to say, don't worry, it's going to be good. No, not a single person. But I'm telling you, I have faith in Jeremy. I believe that he will do as he's told. Dear God, please do as you're told. And not, you know, and just read your lines. If you want to go a little off script, don't.
Listen.
You read exactly what has been written.
Someone was
without straying in any way. Real quick, when I called Jeremy, when I said, "Hey, we don't have Eric for this show. We don't have, you know, we also don't have Justin. So Tommy's going into the Justin role. Jeremy is playing Tommy's role, not your role."
Ooh.
And when I talked to to Jeremy. He said, well, I got to check my schedule. I'm going to, what's it called, Jeremy? It's called Chiller Fest?
Chiller Theater up in Parsippany, New Jersey. But so it's like, not the same
night.
It's
supposed to be a big deal. And then I looked at this and who's going to be at this. It's called Chiller Theater. Is that
correct.
What it's called?
Correct.
If I were to happen to drive up and go to this, I would be the biggest star there. I would actually be at the very top.
Oh, you have not been on Land of the Lost.
I'm kidding you not. There are listed on there horror movies that no one's. I literally went on to Rotten Tomatoes. Are you familiar with the website Rotten Tomatoes?
Of course.
It has the word rotten in it. Yeah, he's familiar.
Okay. Well, I go on that website, and the movie that these people are from, it's not on there. It's not on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's not even people in the movie. It's like this guy was he worked at the Kraft food service table. I mean, literally there's people that are assistant to the assistant director. That's who's at this thing.
Well, they
also
got
Chaka from Land of the Lost.
Chaka from Land of the Lost.
He might be a little
bit
ahead of me, but other than that, I could probably just go up there from the Robin Joe show, Joe Robinson, and see if I couldn't have people like Jeremy getting autographs.
Now, even I'm not a big enough celebrity for that, but you can't say that Ed Begley Jr. isn't a big celebrity.
He can totally
say that.
He
wasn't on the thing that you sent me.
Yeah.
Right? No, Ed Begley Jr., he's a pretty big star.
Now,
I would agree with that.
Now, were you making fun of Vincent Price's daughter?
Yes.
Yep, Vincent Price's daughter's going to be there. Are you guys familiar with the show Mary Hartman from the 1970s?
Oh, yeah, Mary Hartman. So.
Well, no one else is, Jeremy, and people from that show will be there also.
Hey, Louise Lauser, she makes it for me.
Will and Holly from Land of the Lost, they can walk through every mall in America. I don't even know, people don't go to malls anymore, but when they did, nobody will recognize anybody in this entire. Todd Bridges, I believe, from Good Times is going to be there, so he could be recognized. But here, by the way, what's scary about Todd Bridges? I don't understand the theme, but none of these people.
Do you know, speaking of Todd Bridges, one time Erwin Loring offered me $200 to go pick Todd Bridges up from an airport in Virginia to drive him to a show, and I declined.
Damn.
You didn't take $200 to pick up? Why, because he's an ex-con? Or, because you're a racist?
Oh, because he's black.
I felt like it wasn't advancing the white race, so I just couldn't do it, unfortunately.
The world does not move to the beat of just one drum.
I'm just kidding. I love it. I just was busy that day. I couldn't
Hey, you know what my favorite episode of Different Strokes was? It was when Arnold and his friend almost got raped.
Yes, have you seen that? Oh, my God. That is the most awkward episode and very creepy, especially when, because Todd Bridges alleged that he was molested by the producers of that show. And when you watch it, it really paints the portrait of the pederast in that episode at the end as like, oh, he's just a guy with a problem. And, we just want people to know that these are just regular people that are around the place. Like, the moral of the story is the cops explaining, like, yeah, these monsters are around us all the time. You should just watch out for your kids and just understand that they're polite. It's fucking really dark.
See,
and horrible
that's
episode.
Worse than our worst case scenario with Jeremy.
Yeah, just think, nobody's going to get raped at this show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, already...
Do you guys remember who played the kid toucher?
No, but I actually watched it recently, so he's fresh in my mind.
Is that Mr. Belvedere?
It was. I didn't hear what you say. Say that again.
Mr. Belvedere.
You mean the guy who played Mr. Belvedere or Bob Uecker from Bob? Which one? Who are you two?
No,
it's neither one, so it doesn't matter.
I'm just being.
It's
funny.
Mr. Carlson from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, that was
the guy. And that, of course, skyrocketed him to this other role. They saw his work as a kid toucher, and they said, we got to have this guy as the program director.
Yes, I'm a radio station. That makes sense. So,
Jeremy, are you willing today to put Joe's mind at ease and make a pledge that says you'll at least not try to sabotage the show?
Absolutely. This is groundbreaking, opening special doors to me that getting my name out as opposed to not actually having any career, pretty much. So, you know, I'm very, very proud for the opportunity. And, you know, it'll take me at least 10 performances before I even start to do funny, wacky things.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, one of the things that you're – not you, Jeremy, but Eric, you do – is as he gets more comfortable – he starts taking more risks. Mm-hmm. So much so that I don't know if you ever told the story on here, but Eric was doing so – he was so popular at one of these shows that people loved him so much. A lot of people from his work had come that he did a second song. And this it was a song about an aborted brother that he had never met. And he then – was not the most popular person.
I immediately killed all the energy in the room, but I brought it back.
Able to continue to work where you had been working after that point?
Still work there. They still love me and find me to be a very likable person.
We've worked the abortion machine sound into his song, where I once had a DeWalt portable vacuum cleaner to run into the microphone to stand next to him, like I'm just standing there.
That's
like
exactly
I'm like
the
adult
kind of stuff that you cannot be doing at the murder mystery. On October 31st at the Rams Head in Annapolis. No,
Joe, how uncomfortable are you?
And I'm not kidding about people telling me that, you know, that he's a loose cannon, but I do have confidence in Jeremy. I wouldn't have said I wanted him to do this if I didn't, so I do think he's going to be great at this. I do think he's going to be hysterical.
That's awesome.
Well, the one thing I think the biggest hurdle is, the star of our show, Mr. Justin Schlegel, is not on good footing with Jeremy right now. The last time he had a run-in with Justin Schlegel, or I'd say the most infamous one, is that Jeremy decided to randomly dress as Pogo the Clown one day.
Wasn't random.
Show up to 98 Rock Studios, unannounced, and try to get on the show. And it was like the first like month that Justin Scott and Spiegel were like the morning show, and they put him on for like 1 second on the telephone, and then he got escorted by police or by the security at the TV Hill off of the property.
It's probably that lady.
Yes, it was the lady at the desk,
and but she's a mean lady.
They made him leave.
Shout out to Myra, that's her name. Go ahead.
And then I was at work. Obviously, I have no idea about this, because anything Jeremy does, these stunts that he pulls, you have to understand, I'm not privy to any of this. He just does this, and I'm getting messages from my friends who are like, hey, was that your brother dressed as the clown on 98 Rock this morning that called in and showed up and blah blah blah? At the time I wasn't talking to Justin. I mean, I'd had like some conversations here and there. I have like 5 Twitter messages from Justin saying, dude, what the fuck is up with your brother? Why is he here? I just got out of an hour meeting with my boss that said the words never fucking again at least 10 times.
But to be fair,
you have the ability, Jeremy, to, you know, some people, like when I think somebody doesn't like me, I go out of my way to try to win them over, however that needs to be done. And I'm just interested in Jeremy's approach here. Obviously, you think that there's some discomfort. How will you act differently, Jeremy? Will you be more Jeremy or less Jeremy?
That's an amazingly good question.
I think I started off wrong. Well, number one, my little stunt was actually on Scott's, the producer's, birthday. And part of the thing that was to try to play off as I was his birthday clown, that everybody hired me for him for his birthday, which obviously was a lie, but it was a funny joke, I thought.
Sounds like a bulletproof plan.
It started off wrong. Yeah, you lied and worked your way into the studio. I mean, yes, it did start off wrong, but that's your fault, right? I mean, you're not trying to act like it was some misunderstanding, like an episode of Three's Company.
Everybody
you broke into the studio in disguise.
No, I never made it past reception.
I love the best part is that Jeremy, he's concocted this plan, and you realize this is like his Ocean's 11 that he's thought up right here. And like, this is going to get me right in the front door. Well, I'll dress up as clown makeup, and they'll never suspect a thing.
I had to come on somebody's birthday. I think if I had done it on Josh's birthday, I probably would have gotten in, because they probably would have liked the joke.
Yeah.
But at the same time, either way.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some advice on how to handle this. I would sit in a different room. And then when it's showtime, just I would not look him directly in the eye. That's all. I mean, I think you do those two things and then try to, during like intermissions and things like that, just try to stand on the other side of whatever venue we're playing. Well, I think that would work.
To be fair, this is not the craziest person Justin has had to deal with. Last night, a guy had brought him soda to the show and wrote him a long letter, which included the guy that gave it to him, his address. So you're
now,
lower
if
on the list.
You're dead. Okay.
I'm nowhere near as creepy as I could be. But the thing is, when I talked to him on air, I said about Justin, I'm like, I've already opened up for him at High Tops. He knows me. as if I'm not like I'm a real friend or like he really, really knows me. But at the same time, he actually talked me up on the air on how my costume was really dead on and everything. He wasn't trash talking me. I think the one time.
You're taking this a little seriously. Things are going to be fine. That's no. Right, I'm sure right. that was a strange moment, but you know, time heals all wounds. He's probably forgotten about it by now.
Doubt that.
This is all conjecture.
Yeah.
This is all
conjecture. Doubt that.
No, he clearly hasn't forgotten.
I was gonna make a joke that was actually gonna not make things as good, but at the same time, you would still think it's funny. Just don't say it to Justin or nobody listen to this podcast, obviously. So I was gonna say, could you like maybe write in a love scene with me and Justin, or where at least I get to kiss him?
Hey,
or something?
There's only one gay guy in our group, and it's Tommy.
That'll probably go over with Justin. No, I'm leaving. Yes.
What I like more is the idea that we write in a love scene for you and Justin, but then Tommy has to fill in for Justin, and now Tommy has to do it.
All right. Well, Jeremy, I think your work's cut out for you. Eventually,
Jeremy's fine. Jeremy's going to be great. You did mention this a little bit on the last show, but one thing that I thought was strange was that after I told Jeremy, but anyway, I chose Jeremy to do this without having a single conversation with him. But for some reason, and by the way, what's your day job, Jeremy? I mean, clearly this is not your job, this podcast. Go ahead. What do you do for a living?
I have a second shift job of building standees all through the Baltimore and Washington metro area.
So yeah.
Okay. So I figured that. But you've never been in sales. So when you say, hey, I'd like to sell you this vacuum. Once they say they're going to buy it, then you okay, good. They sign and you leave. But when I told you you had this part, you continued to give me your credits and, you know, only things that could ruin it for you. Only things that could get you removed. You think if I watch that DVD, that's going to help? I guarantee you that it's not. I think you probably should have said, hey, that DVD, can you break it in half?
No, that's the finest in indie New Jersey production you can get. So,
Joe, would you?
Yeah, we're looking forward to Jeremy doing this show. I love Jeremy. I love Eric. I love Kim. I love the whole cast, except for the sound guy last night. I love everybody else.
Would you be willing when you drop the Halloween whodunit script on us to send out a fake one first that has an extended love scene with Justin in it and just to see his reaction? And I'm like, wait a minute, what is this?
It's like, Jeremy is the main character and Justin is just a guy who runs across the stage.
Yes.
I think the second time I actually met Justin was at the M3 when he was dressed up all heavy metal, and I came up to him and kind of played off as if I really was from Dundalk or maybe Hamden, and I said, you know, that Transformers film is stupid. You know, Devil's Reject. And he literally says, then fighting words, and walked away. So.
Hey, Joe, there's one more thing I wanted to ask you about since you were on the show before we let you go here. I listened to the Rob and Joe show. I caught up with a bunch of the episodes lately, and I found out that Robbie had listened to the show, and I called Robbie crazy. And Robbie is apparently taking a high offense to this.
That's what crazy people do. They get offended. When they're, you know what I mean? When you're in denial, that stuff hurts.
He's also Jewish.
Well, I
think Charles Manson likes to be called crazy. He doesn't. He doesn't like it.
Well, he's got it. Listen, Charlie has some good points. Now, on the other hand, your brother. First of all, I really adore Robbie, and I get to experience his crazy from a distance, right? So, like, he's never been crazy to me, and now I feel, truthfully, I feel kind of bad, and I haven't approached him about it. What do you think is the best way that I approach this Robbie situation?
Yeah, don't. I just blow that off. It's not. I mean, what is he going to ruin your career? You're fine. Don't you know? You owe Robbie no apology.
Just blow him off.
Listen, he is crazy. It's the healthiest crazy for what we do.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. The Halloween whodunit is in 3 months. Now it's, I guess, 2.5. All of August, all of September, and as always, Halloween is the last day in October. We might do a few shows before, but it's literally 2.5 months away. And my brother has messaged me. Let me see if I can count them. Let me scroll up here. 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know. A lot of times. to have Justin record a spot. Now, meanwhile, we have about, I don't know, 15 shows between now and that. So we can't play that spot until that show occurs. But that type of, I mean, his asshole is probably, you know, his shit must look like spaghetti. You understand? His asshole is so tight. It is so tight that that's the reason that when he does sound, it happens without flaw. When he does the show, like everything that he does is scheduled and on point. And I love that about him. But when you have somebody that's wound that tight, you know, there's going to be some, there's some downsides. And one of them is when, you know, your podcast might have called him nuts. He didn't like it. But, you know, he'll be, he probably forgot about it. Just kidding. He'll never forget.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted to approach him when, the next time I saw him, but I haven't seen him in like over a month because we had John Coulter running sound for the Sing for Your Life as of recently. So I haven't seen
Robbie. Is
that
what you call what he did? Call that running sound?
All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, yeah, John Coulter missed a couple spots. Missed a couple spots over the weekend.
Is he related to Ann Coulter?
I don't know. I guess that's it for us right now, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Thanks, guys. And I need to apologize to Kim. I couldn't hear a word she said, but I'm sure she said several hilarious things.
Probably not.
And you guys are so great. I mean, who cares? I mean, but I'll kiss your ass publicly.
Do you
guys have gotten so good at doing these murder mysteries. I'm so proud of the product that we do. I know the only people that listen to this podcast are comics, but they should know how good you guys are at this. So forget the jealousy.
Thanks.
Forget the jealousy. I know this is a very competitive field. If you guys haven't seen the murder mystery, you know, James Finn, whatever other comics are listening out there, Tom Myers, you know, if you guys haven't seen it, come out and check out what these guys can do. They're hilarious and they're really good.
Hell yeah.
And thank your brother for the design of the thing with Pogo in it.
So. All right, that's enough, Jeremy. That's enough.
All right,
I'm
Joe.
Just kidding. I will.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show, right. And I'll catch you soon.
See you guys.
Later.
Oh my God.
She's going to eat my baby.
Well, no, of you. Of just being like, oh my God, Jeremy, he's whoa. I wouldn't trust him in the office. He'd be the one to fucking. And I'm always like, why do you not understand? Like, he's so fucking cool and funny. Like, it's
you need
all
to understand
thing.
His brilliance.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get why. Like, they take. It's like the same thing as, like, pit bulls, right? You see a pit bull and you're like, oh, a strong dog. Dude, it wants to snuggle. You just gotta get to know it.
I hope that I become a big enough actor or a comedian someday so that I can just be as I don't want to say the word blasé, as big headed as I want and teach a class and say, the most important part of comedy is fear. If they don't fear you, they don't respect you.
Have you seen that thing on Tim and Eric Awesome Show, Great Job, where Zach Galifianakis teaches an acting class to kids?
Right.
And he like knocks over a plant and he's like, write that down. Write that down. He's like, how do you do a British accent? You hold your nostrils like this, and then you've got a British accent. Like, that's not how you do that.
That's solid, man. That's solid.
That's how I
picture
you.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Now you know who I steal all my material from. So.
Like if Gwar did Between Two Ferns.
Yeah.
That's Jeremy Woodworth.
Good times.
Speaking of good times, we circling back to the Baltimore Comedy Factory this weekend. Kim and I had two shows. Every one of these Die Laughing productions, I end up getting down into my skivvies in some way, shape, or form. And there was a lady at the Late Show, which was great. The Late Show was such a good, raucous crowd. We really had a fun time with them. This lady was probably, she had to be late 50s, 60-year-old lady.
Easily, yeah.
Gray-haired, probably about maybe 5 foot tall. Short black lady who... came up to me after the show. She asked me a lot of questions. Like, she was like, sit your ass down right here. I got questions about the Moita. And she's going over point by point, and she was just like, who do you think about this? And I gave her all the answers. She was like, you know what? You write. Crossing off names and stuff. She did her homework. And you know what? She nailed who the murderer was. She was really good. After the show, she comes up to me in the hallway, and I'm still wearing my whitey tighties there. And she stops and just drinks in a big, tall stare of Eric Woodworth. Okay. And she looks me up and down. She goes, boy, let me tell you something. You remind me of my husband.
In his tidy whities.
She's like, my husband used to wear his whitey tighties around the house all the day. He was a little bit bigger fella than you. But boy, you look just like him. And I hugged her, and she did not let go. It was like a real long embrace.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if I wasn't a married man, I could have gotten some sweet fucking...
That's what the comedy life is all about.
Pre-civil rights poontang last night. I'm telling you. It was going to be real good.
No worries about making childs tonight.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
were you going to run a train on her Underground Railroad?
I've imagined like... If I was, that's too funny, Kim.
That's dumb.
Have a bell? Have a bell that we can hit every once in a while?
I would imagine, like, I would be like, hold on, I got to pull out. She was just like, nah, leave it in. Have yourself a menopause, honey.
There was a lady, so we didn't really have, like, an offstage area, per se. It was just, like, by the door on the other side of the room.
Right, right.
And the table that was nearest us, a group of older ladies who were having a real good time. At the end, when you come on stage and you have your sport coat on and no pants, everybody was laughing. Everybody enjoyed it. But she said, Katie and I heard it. She goes, I know he better cover that shit up real hard. She was serious about it.
Oh, and she was wrong. I didn't cover
it. You didn't.
I like picking out the people that really dislike it,
yeah.
and then making it my point to sneak up on them and getting my junk like right next to their face while I talk to like the crowd. I found some people who are literally like have a fist like balled up, like ready, like I'm gonna punch you right in the dick, man. I'm gonna punch you right in the dick. But I'm willing to take a shot to the groin for comedy.
Sure, absolutely.
I really am. I did. Speaking of taking a shot to the groin, last night there is a picture that got texted to me. Some of my friends came to the Saturday early show, and Katie took my wrecking ball that I used for the show and hit me right in the danglies with it. Oh. And there is a picture, Jeremy, I'll show you since you haven't seen it yet, of me catching one right in the fucking testy satchel here. Jeremy, give me your reaction to this bad boy right here.
Can nice. You all, oh god, perfectly timed. That's got to go up on the Quality Time Facebook page.
Oh yeah.
What percentage of men still use briefs versus the semi-boxers or boxers?
All the people who want to be creepy and dads.
Yeah, nailed it. Can you say what you said about that on the group chat?
I said here's a perfect. Let's go look at the text message that I sent out about this to.
Because my personal one was the follow up.
I said, this is a real time shot of my buddy's wife hitting me in the testy knapsack with a wrecking ball. Rob Mayer, perfect. Joe Robinson, LOL. I legitly had to evac a quick turd right after this happened. Because whenever I get hit in the balls, it makes me want to poo. And that one just, like, it's to the point, I don't know if this is a problem, but Jerry, tell me this is something else, because this is something I've never heard discussed before, and I realize it's bathroom talk, but sometimes if I'm having a little bit of problem getting a poo out, I give myself a couple of ball taps, and it falls right out.
Are you
right
serious
after
right now?
Yeah, just give him a little, just not a hard one, but just a little pap, 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 just right underneath right there.
One of my ex's sister would punch herself in the gut if her period wouldn't start. And it worked.
Oh, I'm pregnant, so I'm gonna punch myself.
No, if her period wouldn't start, like if she was like, I know it's supposed to start, like I just won't. She would be like, bam, and it would work.
Kids.
Oh gosh. Oh,
I heard you talking to something that I really love. I'm Vietnam Tom. I'm back.
Okay, hey man.
So I heard you got the problems with the poops.
Yes.
This guy,
yes,
he
Tom.
Shits six times a day.
Yeah.
So back in the day when the money was really flowing and I had at least $30 or $40 in the pocket.
At least.
In the bank account.
And yeah. The cell phone had just been released. It was at least the size of a thermos that you had to hold up to your head. And I'd be taking a poo. I'd be having a real problem.
Oh, man. What's up, Tom?
Go ahead. So tell us more, Tom.
I get out my new 80s fangled cell phone, and I call up my local friend. She's a prostitute.
Go on.
And lo and behold, she would come up and give me a blowjob on the toilet, and I would poo easier than ever.
This is a Blumpkin. You had a Blumpkin.
I don't know what they're called. Maybe the kids call it something after pumpkins these days. But but in the old days, that's how I got to help poop.
Now, for all the kids out there, it's a sexual maneuver called the Blumpkin, and it's named as such for not only the sound but also the splash that is left behind in the situation.
And amazingly, she said I smelled better after I pooed. So I just share that with you kids. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, it was a strange time. I'm going back to sleep. Oh, crap.
All right, back in
See
the corner.
See you later, kids.
Back to this corner with you, Tom.
I just got a beard. Was we Vietnam Tom at the
Yeah, he's sleeping over in the
corner.
But
you don't need to know.
He wasn't talking about Blumpkins again, was he? Oh, bastard.
So embarrassing.
Gosh, I hope he dies.
Come on, Dad. My friends are here. Stop talking about getting your dick sucked on the toilet so you can poop.
So, that was it. I had to push out a real quick poop. I had to go leave the studio. I had to leave the floor after I got hit in the balls. And everybody was like, hey, come back to my table. I was like, I'll be back in just a second. Ray is fine.
I like to think that you had to ask where the bathroom was, but you got hit in the balls. So you were like, excuse me, where's the bathroom?
Excuse me, this is Billy Ray Paisley High voice.
I love in Blazing Saddles when he smokes that joint and he's like, listen, Bart, I want you to do me a favor. Like he has that voice reaction to smoking smoking weed. I love that.
Oh, good times.
Or when what's his cigar face gets hit in the balls in Toxic Avenger, like a boxing bag.
I'll beat you, faggot!
Yes.
I'm Cigar Face.
Yes.
Cigar Face. I forgot Cigar Face. Oh. He is such
Toxic
a cutie.
Avenger.
Class. Which, by the way, Melvin the Mop Boy coming to Chiller Theater.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Good tip.
Yeah, Joe.
No celebrities
okay.
there.
Okay. Mophead is coming from Toxic Avenger. So.
Guys, I found out recently that I can't.
Have any more children?
That is true. I won't have any more children.
I will not.
I can't nap around my house when my children are home.
No.
It's almost impossible because what my kids like to do and what they've done to me for like at least the last 6 years of their lives, now that they've, you know, Jane's 6 years old and Susie's now 3, is whenever I'm asleep, the way I am awakened, if I don't wake up before the children, which I don't, I wake up before the kids now all the time.
Out of fear,
because they wake me up by jumping on me, and it's always a knee shot right to the old fucking...
It's how you show
to love. To the fucking bangers down there, you understand?
That's the mash and bangers and mash.
Yeah, and it gets to the point now where I was trying to take a nap the other day, and I sleep really well in a recliner. I like sleeping in a recliner. It's the perfect position for sleep. If I hear the little footsteps of children at all, it's like when you're on a plane and I just go, shit, okay. And part of it is also, as I've become larger over the last couple of years, I've grown into this full fat dad that I am, that I have no thigh gap anymore. My balls, in addition, have also dropped down to a lower level.
Whoa.
So that when I'm laying, they sit on top of my legs often like this.
Presented
just
thusly.
little fucking bean bags, just ready for a macho man elbow drop right there. So anytime I hear footsteps now and I'm dozing off, I just go, shit, they're coming. They're fucking coming again.
This is
my balls.
Perfect. We could totally make a horror movie out of this. That's perfect.
Steady ball shots.
Yeah. No naps for you.
I can't even check myself for cancer because there's so many lumps from the fucking shots I'm getting from a six-year-old. It's fucking
and that's
horrible.
The same for brothers and sisters when you're young, too, by the way.
I can't tell if it's cancer or scar tissue.
All children are the same, so.
Children just, it's the height that they're at. It's perfect to hit you in the dick all the time.
All the time.
They don't know that they're doing it. And I have girls, so they've never had, they don't know what a ball shot
Whose
is like.
Whose joke was that? Whose fucking joke was that? Was that all kids are at dick level?
I think it's Seton Smith who does a whole bit about...
And something about Chuck E. Cheese after that?
Yeah, like...
Somebody said Chuck E. Cheese, and the thing about that is all kids are at dick level. And I remember somebody got offended because they said it was like... they were like, you're talking about child molestation. And they were like, no, I'm talking about physics and height. Children are at dick level.
Yeah.
Fact. I don't know what your problem is.
It's true. So wrong, you know?
So wrong.
We don't fuck kids, okay?
Yeah, what does that say about you? Right? Like, there's a kid near, like, their head is in the vicinity of where my dick lives, right? It's kind of the same thing as dogs. Like, you can't let kids around dogs unattended because kids and dogs are in the same eye level and dogs think that they're on dog level, right? So it's like kids are on dick level, right? So it's like, what does it say about you that just because they're on dick level, you go, oh, you're putting it in their mouth? Well, like, whoa!
It took me years to train my penis because when it was at eye level with children, it would immediately attack. Just unleash. Just leave a fucking long Twizzler mark.
It's not that it would get hard,
cheek.
It would just start swinging violently.
Like, let's just say that if Gwar sings the song, you know it's wrong. All children are at dick level.
Right.
But if it's the Carpenters, all children are at dick level. You're just thinking it's a beautiful song. It is the sixth time of Dimension of Aquarius of raping children.
Okay, Jeremy.
I hate you.
God damn it.
You can't do that at the murder mystery.
Jeremy, you're not rich and powerful enough to fuck kids. You know that.
Can I say how I held back with Joe when he was on?
Yes, please. Tell us how you held back. Tell us how you were restrained.
Let it all
When you give the worst scenario of me getting into a fight with the audience members, I wanted to say, hey, I could take on at least 6 to 10 audience members. If people join in me, I'll take on the whole damn crowd.
I wanted to say, if a brawl is the biggest thing you're worried about, you have to remember that both at... Fishhead Cantina, as well as the Oyster House in
Riley's
Bel Air.
Oyster House.
No, in Bel Air. Main Street Oyster House. At both of those locations, while comedy was taking place, not that night, but comedy was there at those locations at that time, people were stabbed in the parking lot and murdered. Actual murder.
Nice.
So if you're Joe, if your biggest concern is a punch in the face, consider yourself lucky. This is Baltimore.
Kim, I care about you too much. I'm going to have to give you some more weapons to take to these shows.
I'm excited about that. You know, we're going to the Middle East, so when I tell my dad, maybe I have to have like a Lara Croft like Bowie knife on my side to be like, Dad, it's cool. I'm prepared.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Why'd you have to put that thing in my mind of the Lara Croft outfit? Damn it.
She's hot.
Yeah.
I like how MIA says Lara Croft is soft when it comes to my stuff. Yeah, she is, bitch.
Honestly, though, who would fight our murder mystery crew? If you really think about it, I mean,
if it's
me, Tommy Simmazzo, and Jeremy in full clown makeup, I mean, do you attack that contingency?
I'm standing
at all?
Confidently in front of you in a bikini in front of a bunch of dudes who have not gotten laid in 6 years, and I have no sweat on my brow.
And what people don't know is the smallest one, Tommy, who's still a big dude, is the most dangerous out of the lot of us.
Extremely dangerous.
Did you see that video of the guys that start fights with everybody, but they're wearing the Borat bathing suits?
No, what?
But they take their clothes off, and all of a sudden, everybody just takes off. Running. Yeah,
they just walk through. They literally walk through the hood.
Oh my God.
There's these white guys that walk through the hood, and you're like, "What's up? Fuck you!" And he's like, "Man, fuck you! You want to go? Let's go!" And he's like, "All right." He takes his shirt off and then drops his pants, and he's wearing a full Borat
thong.
Oh
my God!
Like that. He's like, "Yo!" And they just run off every time.
That's amazing.
Every single person just takes off running, which I think is exactly the same that if I wore the pogo thing, if I drop my pogo outfit. People just start running.
You know what I think?
The clown out.
You know what I think though? I think white people wouldn't back down. I think they would be that would they would take that as a challenge. Like, oh, you think you're gonna make me feel awkward?
Oh.
I'm gonna fight the shit out of you. Black people, I think, would have more sense to be like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Hey, I'm gonna do what it takes to keep this General Lee statue up here. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you a funny story about a kid I went to high school with. Now, in middle school, he used to wrestle, and in high school, he used to wrestle. And my friend, who I won't name drop just because he told me this in confidence years ago, okay?
All right.
But he was a very well-endowed gentleman, okay? So he had a big dick, okay? Now, going through your weird adolescent years, you just pop boners constantly, okay?
It happens to the best of us.
Even me to this day, I get a random boner every once in a while. It just
rando
happens,
boner,
right?
Once sometimes.
A
year.
So he was a wrestler, and then one time he said, he was like, man, I was going into this match and I was really hyped up, and it just came on. And he's like, I got a fucking raging hard on before I went out there. And you're wearing a singlet, so there's nothing you can do
nothing.
About this. So he gets in there to go wrestle it, and he's got a fucking hard on. And so the ref's trying to ignore that he's got a fucking raging dick right now. And then he goes, and he's a big guy. Like, he's a fucking, not a big gentleman in general, but a huge fucking cock on this guy. And he says his opponent got in there, and he walks into the ring, and he just looks at him. He's like, he looks down at the package. He's like, oh my God. And then he looks at the ref. He goes, I'm not wrestling that.
Like, not that. The guy, the dick.
Yes. He's like, I'm not wrestling that.
Like, I'll wrestle the man. I'm not wrestling that monster.
So he was allowed to handle himself. So the match got postponed to later in the day. And
Stop. He was allowed to handle himself.
He went back and took care of business.
So that the whole crew, everybody involved, was like, we are on board. You need to jerk one out and come back and body wrestle this man.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, you guys are fucking weird.
Listen, it was fully loaded gun. It was out of control. You can't, the only way to do it is to unload the gun.
Yeah, you gotta, you can't just uncock the hammer. You gotta pull the trigger.
But at the same time, you gotta think of it like this. After you do that, you are completely at ease and calm. Anything that you did to build up to like being able to wrestle and grapple somebody,
it's
is
done.
Gone,
it's
right?
Done.
Like,
yeah, you're
guys,
silly now.
Guys, I got a story about
Jesus,
that.
Tom!
You're back again.
Your job is to lay in the corner and eat the mice that the cat misses. Why are you so involved today?
Back in the 30s, back when I was in school.
Why does Jeremy leave the room?
And we were wrestling. I'll admit it. We weren't like part of school because we weren't faggots, okay? Let's just say, you know, we're wrestling everything. One guy gets one of them big old raging hard-on boners. 5 minutes more wrestling. I just want to say it ended with somebody losing an eye. So,
he caught one right in the orbital, huh?
Yeah. We called him One Eye Willie after that. And it wasn't because his name was Willie.
And he was only born with one eye.
The rest of his body is straight, but his left eye is totes gay.
So that's why I'm against wrestling, both professional and amateur.
Have you heard the story of the time this guy who was well endowed went to the airport? This was like an internet thing.
Yes,
remember
I have
that?
Seen it. Yes.
And they like so made good. Him take his dick out because they didn't believe him. Because they like patted him down and they were like, sir, what's that? Like, you're concealing something. And he was like, that's my cock.
Yes.
And they were like, no, we don't believe you. It's far too big. And he was like, well, thank you, but that's my dick. And they were like, nope, gonna have to see it to believe it. They took it out. He took it out. And they were like, oh, that's his dick.
Wow. You saw it torn in that thing?
I remember why. Because now, this is it. The story was this guy wears biking shorts to the airport now, and a woman complained who had a kid. A woman complained and was like, this is inappropriate. This guy has a huge swanging cock, and he's like all business up top, but like biking shorts down below. So it really genuinely probably looked like he's trying to show off his dick. And she complained to a security guard, and he had to stand there and tell the story like, no, a security guard manhandled my cock, and now I travel so much.
That's sexist. I mean, girls are allowed to show off their tatas all the time. If a guy's got a nice package, you should be able to show the outline.
But we're not, though. Free the nipple. You know what I mean? But we're not.
Well, that's nip. I mean, nips are a little bit different, but, I mean, he's not showing the fuck. I'm not asking to show the tip of his dick
but
here
he wasn't
with a pasty
showing
on
off.
It. I just,
the
I
man
just
walked
outline.
In and
Yeah.
And somebody complained. Sorry, his dick's too big. Did you have you seen the video of where a guy like he kind of jiggled it?
Yes.
Did you see that?
There's one where a guy's arrested and he's getting patted down. He was just like the cop goes like this. He's like, "Hey, what's this?" He goes, That's my dick. Yeah. And, and they pause the video and it shows the guy's face like, yeah.
He did. He like jiggled it a little. Like he had to confirm.
And he was just, I think it was that he was like, what's this? And like, oh, that's your dick.
That's okay. Your dick. All right, cool. Good day at work.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Things that have never happened to a Woodworth. Everything that happened in those two stories.
Do we have time for the movie review?
Yeah, we can. Jeremy, I got a movie review of my own to share. So,
ooh, cool.
You go ahead, Jeremy. Jeremy saw the movie Annabelle. Annabelle 2 Cruise Control.
There can be only one Annabelle. So yeah, and first time seeing Dolby Atmos at AMC, I was quite impressed.
Ooh.
They cranked that mother up so your seat shakes. Mm. Almost feels like there's a speaker right behind your seat, and it really, really shakes. It's not like a mechanism or anything, but
like it's the kind of movie that makes you feel like you got full onset of Parkinson's.
Holler.
I guess this would be the fourth in the series because you have The Conjuring, you have Annabelle and Conjuring 2. And I think, Conjuring 2 didn't have the Warrens in that one either. But the Warrens were both in Annabelle and The Conjuring. But anyway, but they tie this whole one up with both Annabelle and the creepy nun.
Nice. All right, nice.
But I hate to say, I think it was just as good as all the others.
It's as good. It's on par with Conjuring 1 and 2. Annabelle was...
I heard Conjuring 2 wasn't very good.
I really enjoyed The Conjuring 2. I thought it was great.
The Conjuring 2, I think, was a little slow going.
You have
but...
to see it. All right, so we saw The Conjuring 2. If you go back into our archives, there's a full rundown because I saw it with Jeremy. And if you see a movie with Jeremy, it's probably the most fun experience you'll have because he laughs at inappropriate times.
I do the same thing.
There is apart. Okay, they introduced one of the main characters in Conjuring 2, which is just this random British guy who's like bald with like a mustache, and they just flash him onto the screen and it's silent movie theater. They just show, it's just the guy, it's just how he looks,
it's
right?
Just how
there's
he
no,
looks.
There's no comedy
deal.
About it. Jeremy goes, he sounds like Goofy falling off a cliff.
I'm sorry, he did look exactly like Michael Myers as a bad English guy, so...
I went on a date to see Rambo at the movie theater, and Rambo is very serious. It's a very touching story.
It's blood.
It's actually a Ron Howard film.
It's quite emotional. Like for a highly masculine, violent movie, it's very emotional. It's about this guy. He's an underdog. No one has his back. He shouldn't be treated like this. And the one people, who should have his back, American citizens, fucking don't.
Yeah.
Right? It's very emotional. And I don't remember what the scene was, but the guy I was with and myself, like, again, silent movie theater, just the same, and somebody said something like so hyper masculine, like, we gotta catch this fucker and pull his asshole out from between his legs, something like that. And we fucking lost it.
That sounds like a Brian Dennehy line.
You know what I mean? Just like one of those like super angry, just like super uber serious. And like we were the only two in the theater laughing. But what happened was, it was actually a weird experience because we started laughing and it felt inappropriate, but then every time something really serious would happen, a couple more chuckles would come from the rest of the crowd. Like, they started to get on board with where we were at.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
That's good, really good suspense, just like all the other ones. And of course, it's a James Wan. I'm sure anybody else other than James Wan that does it is going to just make it a shit film.
Right.
So give us the rundown. Give us, with non-spoilers, how was Annabelle, Annabelle 2, the cruise control?
Annabelle, again, more Annabelle.
You know, they do the same thing, and whether they change the story up, you're expecting the scares, and whether they're cheap scares, if they work, they work. And the funny thing is, I've been doing this how many films now? It's like, oh, I get so excited, not because of the film itself, but that I'm going to take my wife to the film, and then she's going to scream like a little girl, which she does
at least
three times during this last one.
Nice.
And funny, when the scare doesn't work, she's like, yeah. But when the scream does work, it's top of her lungs, and I'm laughing at her, and she puts her hand like, stop it! Stop laughing at me! And I'm like, this is awesome.
That's so cute, though.
So awesome. So,
boys!
And I hate to say, I don't want to, if there's one thing that I can give away in the film, the nun in the film who's taking care of the kids has a picture. She's like, oh, these are all the other nuns. And in the black part of the picture, you barely see the Valak nun.
Oh,
and
no.
She barely shows up. Well, who's this? And I'm like, oh, that must be Valak. And the funny thing is, if you really know her, she's like the creepy, ultra super creepy bum that hangs out back of the diner in Mulholland Drive.
Okay.
Yes.
It just shows up and is like, oh my gosh! And the funny thing is, she has this like super ultra bird-like nose that makes her an awesome actress, you know? I mean, the ultimate horror actress for whatever part she gets. So, and I love her.
Nice.
When I met her, I was like, you want to put on like some dreadlocks and you can look like the bum from Mulholland? She's like, no, I'm not going to do that for you.
What is wrong with you?
Some actors give you the cream dream.
Dude. What's the quality time score out of 5 stars? What do you give it, Jeremy?
The 4.5, you know.
Wow, 4.5, that's pretty high.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay, very high score for Annabelle Judgment Day. So definitely go check that out. It's highly recommended by Jeremy, who was in a movie called Scienceless Fiction. So,
if that tells you anything.
And if you actually see it, you might want to kill me.
Yeah. So, I saw a movie, and this is a good Netflix cut. Justin Schlegel recommended this to me, and I watched it today. I watched half of it yesterday, half of it today, and boy, oh boy, is it a good one. Go hop on your Netflix machine when you're listening to this podcast. Hop off of here after you give us your 5-star rating, and then go turn on your Netflix and look up the movie The Void, okay? This movie... it's 2016 film. It looks like it takes place. I missed the time or what year it was, but it looks like it's taking place in like the 80s or late 70s.
Okay,
and it is a very big ode to John Carpenter.
Nice.
And The Thing.
Hell
there's
yeah.
lots of. There is not one bit of. If there is CGI, you can't tell when it
is. Awesome. I hate that.
And there is lots of practical effects monsters. So if you ever watch the show Face Off and you're wondering like, oh, there's all these cool monsters. I wish they actually did these in movies. This movie has it, and it has it a lot, and it's fucking super creepy. And it's very hard to understand. They leave it at a point where you're just like, I don't know what's happening, but I want to learn more. If I were to give you the two movies that I feel like it's a lot like, it's as if the movie The Thing met the movie Hellraiser. That is not downplaying this. I'm not trying to talk this up more than it should be, but that's where I put it on practical effects and creepiness and just how fucking good this movie is. So definitely check out The Void. I'm going to watch it again just to soak it in one more time. But right now I'm giving it a solid... I don't want to give it a 4 because I'm a tough rater, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a 3.9 right now until I can watch
Wait,
it one more
time. Wait,
you're
saying this wasn't as good as what he said Annabelle 2 was?
Yes. Well, I don't know what I would rate Annabelle 2
okay,
at, okay?
Fair enough, yeah.
I'm not, listen, just because me and Jeremy are both psychopaths and brothers doesn't mean that you got to have a tough rating system, all right? There's got to be a 5, and a 5 has to be your perfect film, and anything less than that has to be less, right? So there's a lot of movies I put in that 4 range that I don't know if I can put that into it because it builds on other movies that I would put above there. You know?
I tend to lean towards what Doug Benson says. Doug loves movies, mm-hmm. right? Someone asked him, you know, because he comments on movies and he kind of tears them down a little bit, you know, where appropriate. And someone interviewing him was like, but is there a perfect movie? Like, you talk all this shit. Like, is there a perfect movie? And he was like, no. There's always something wrong with a movie. There's always some misdirection or something that could have been done better or something they skimped on or whatever.
You silly woman, you. Has Doug Benson never seen the movie Cabin Boy? Then I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
So, okay. But I tend to lean more towards that way, which is why I end up giving movies a really good review. Because I'll end up being like, well, there's no perfect movie, so if it was very entertaining and it was well made and everybody was on point, then I think it was really great. You know,
there's one thing that makes movies more memorable, and you'll say, oh, you see that movie? Like, I think I did see that movie. and I've forgotten it because it was that.
Right.
Was it a great movie? Yeah, I guess it was okay, but who cares?
All right, guys. Yeah, I guess that's our show, guys. Kimberly, where can people find you at?
At Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. The Second Saturday Shit Show is the second Saturday of every month up at the Auto Bar. It's free. It's upstairs. It's super fun. At Die Laughing Productions on Instagram, and the Judges Bench open mic in historic Ellicott City.
Heck yeah. Every Monday night, catch her up there. You can catch me every third Tuesday at the Wits End. That's in attached to Magoobie's Joke House. I'm there every third Tuesday. So check that out. It's good times. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Check out Die Laughing Productions and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you, and have a good night.
Time, mini games, all the fields, all the DM digits, all the time.